Okay, ladies, let's go ahead and get started, and I want to welcome you to Free Refills.
Excuse me.
What are you doing, Samantha?
I'm looking for some water.
Samantha, where are you going?
Is there any water?
What? Samantha, wait. Samantha, come here.
I need some water.
Well, come here. Samantha, she's one of our college students. You have to forgive her. Okay. Samantha. I have something that you need right up here. Samantha, right here. This is what you're looking for.
Thank
there
you.
There we go. And there's you some water.
I appreciate
Thank
it.
You. You're welcome. She finally came to the right source. Let's give her a hand. You know, that's the thing. Many of us are frantically looking for the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We're looking for that, but we're looking in the wrong places. We have to go to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, that's the fruit of the Spirit. And we're looking in all the wrong places. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is the Holy Spirit and getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And I want to share with you several things that I have been studying about. Years ago, my pastor at that time in a distant state preached a sermon on the Holy Spirit, and it really impacted my life. I'm going to share some things that that I learned from him, and I want to share today about free refills. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, and we're so thankful that you did send the Holy Spirit to live in us and to help us. And Holy Spirit, I ask you now to help me to say what you want me to say that would honor you and would bring glory to the Father, and help us to learn things that will help us to be a better Christian and help us to go to the next level in our Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's look at our outline. First of all, we want to talk about who He is. Who is the Holy Spirit? Can you hear me okay? And we have no more outlines. I'm really sorry. We don't have any more outlines. So Rachel, will you take really good notes? We're going to run yours. Do you have an outline? You don't have an outline. Okay. Mrs. Elliott, do you have an outline? Okay, can you take really good notes? And what I'm going to do, I'm going to run them off. And then tonight at 7 o'clock, I sit at the very front because I lead the singing. So if you want them, I'll have a few copies for you with the outline that we have. And Rachel will fill it in really well for us, okay? So don't worry about it if you don't have them right now. Can everybody hear me? Okay. All right, I'll talk a little bit louder. All right, very good. So use on the front, I'm not shouting at you. I'm shouting at them. Okay, so we'll be good. All right, but number one, who is the Holy Spirit? First of all, He is our Comforter. John 15:16 says, "And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter." So Jesus told His disciples, "I'm going to leave, but I'm going to give you another, one of the same kind, one like me, that's going to come and comfort you." But just imagine if His disciples would have said, "Now, Jesus, we don't want you to leave. We need you." And I'm sure they did say all of that. And what if Jesus would have said, "Well, okay, I'll stay because in my bodily presence, you can come and talk to me." And maybe He would have assigned the Apostle John as His secretary to set up appointments. Every 10 minutes, somebody could come in and talk to him. And could you imagine how long the lines would be to come in and get some counsel from Jesus in His bodily presence? But Jesus said, "I'm going to do something better than that." He said, "I'm going to leave so that I can send a Holy Spirit, a Comforter." So it was the limited bodily presence that left, and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, that is the unlimited universal presence. So see how much better it was, and Jesus' plan, God's plan, to send the Holy Spirit to be with us. And He said, "I want to comfort you." I know many of us, we're at different seasons in our lives, and probably some of you right now are really needing comfort, maybe because of a death of a loved one or an illness or a loss of a job, whatever it is that we need comfort for, and the Comforter's there for us. There might be some of us who right now we're kind of in a comfort zone where just things are going pretty well. I mean, nothing is ever perfect, but you know, things are going pretty well, things are going along. Well, for the Holy Spirit to comfort us, I want to propose to you the idea, as you're going through a comfortable season in life, and maybe some of you aren't right now, but you will later, what is it that God is asking you to do that would be more risky, that would make you have to rely on the Holy Spirit? Maybe God is asking you to do something out of your comfort zone. Maybe to help someone, let someone stay in your house, to take a meal, to help someone financially, something that would be a little bit more, because the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He can't comfort you if you don't need comfort. So perhaps in a comfortable season of life that some of you might be in, God is asking you to do something else, to take another step, to become needy, to become at risk, so that the Holy Spirit can comfort you. He does want to comfort us. Then, letter B, this, He is the Spirit of truth. The last part of John 15, 16 says, even the Spirit of truth. That's what the Bible calls Him. And you know, ladies, these are very confusing days. People are lying, politicians lie, friends lie, family members lie. People are not used to telling the truth. I told a guy in my class yesterday, he was on his phone during school. I teach here at West Coast Baptist College. And I said, are you on your phone? He said, no, ma'am. And then he realized, oh, yes, ma'am. But you know, it's our first inclination to cover and to lie. It really is what it is. So we need the Spirit of truth to help us speak the truth. We need the Spirit of truth to help us know the truth and to discern the truth. So we really need the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth. Mark 13, 11 says, but when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate, but whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. So see, there is a way that if we are totally surrendered to the Holy Spirit, when we speak, it will be the truth. And then people will trust us, we can have a better ministry, and we'll please the Father as well. So we need that Spirit of truth, don't we, in our lives. Then letter C, He is a reprover. The Holy Spirit is a reprover. John 16, 8 says, and when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin. Aren't you thankful for God's mercy? Because we all sin. But you know what? We also need to be thankful for God's judgment. Because without His judgment on our lives, we would just run wild. We would just do whatever we wanted to. So we need to be so thankful that we have a reprover, and be thankful for God's justice and His judgment. He wants to reprove the world of righteousness, or that means of the need for righteousness. And He wants to reprove the world of judgment. So when the Holy Spirit reproves you, I hope you're so thankful for that. When your toes get stepped on, when there's something that you need, be thankful for that, because we need it. Letter D, He is our guide. He is our guide. I remember 16 years ago, we moved out here to Lancaster, California. We moved from the East Coast to the West Coast all the way. It was a long trip. And a couple nights before we left, we had our truck packed that was pulling our car. And then we had our van packed that was pulling a trailer. We looked like the Beverly Hillbillies coming to California. But I remember a couple nights before that, I happened to be reading in Exodus at that time in July when we were moving across the country in August. And I read Exodus 33, 14 and 15. And it was talking about Moses and God talking to each other. So God was telling Moses, He said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And then Moses said unto God, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And I remember praying that. I said, now God, we're going on a trip, and we need you to go with us and take us to a place of rest. And if your presence is not going to go with us and help us, then don't even let us get there. And that's how we should pray. With having a guide of the Holy Spirit in our life, say, Holy Spirit, I want to do your will. I want to follow you. And you know, we may make a right decision, but because of our sinful nature that we still have, that we'll not get rid of until we go to heaven, we might make a wrong decision. But if we're really seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit, then He can make it not happen. And so we don't have to worry. We can pray, seek counsel, read God's Word, and then make a decision. And then, if it's not God's will, the Holy Spirit as our guide will not let us get there. He will not let it happen. So isn't that wonderful that we can trust the Holy Spirit to guide us in every situation? Then E, He is our intercessor. Romans 8:26 says, "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." And I love that. Here I am praying. I want to know God's will. Here's the Holy Spirit, and my prayers are going through the Holy Spirit to get to the Father. And the Holy Spirit, who is all wise, He might change my prayer before it gets to the Father. Isn't that awesome? And so whatever is going there, it's filtered through the Holy Spirit because He's my intercessor. And what a wonderful thing that we can have the Holy Spirit praying for us to the Father. I love that. Letter F, the Holy Spirit brings unity. Ephesians 4:3 says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So since the Holy Spirit is the one that brings unity, if there is ever discord or a lack of harmony, the Holy Spirit must not be a part of that. So that's a red flag for us, isn't it? And that means we need to check what's going on in my heart, what's going on in these situations, because the Holy Spirit will bring unity. Then G, the Holy Spirit glorifies God. John 16:14 says, "He shall glorify me." So a sure sign that the Holy Spirit is working is when God is being glorified and His name is being praised. And you know, anything that you do, oh, your kids are so awesome, or oh, your home is so wonderful, praise the Lord. Deflect all the praise back to the Lord. And we should give Him all the glory for that. If it's anything that's bringing glory to us, then that's not good. That puffs people up, brings pride, and so forth. So make sure if anybody ever gives you a compliment, first of all, give glory to the Lord, and then just forget it. So praise goes in one ear and out the other. And it's all to the glory of the Lord. Then H, the Holy Spirit gives power. Acts 1:8 says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." And it's talking there about being a witness for the Lord. So God gives us power to witness. He gives us power to live. He gives us power in every area. So don't we need the Holy Spirit? Those are just a few things of who the Holy Spirit is. But I pray that we desire for Him in all these areas to fill us so that He can comfort us and guide us and help us to walk in truth, to reprove us and to give us power and so forth. Then number two, where does He work? So who He is, where He works. A, He works in the spiritual Christian. When was the last time that you saw the Holy Spirit undeniably at work in somebody's life, in your life, in somebody else's life? God wants to work through the spiritual Christian. When was the last time you really saw someone love where it was just impossible to love them, but it was the Holy Spirit loving through you? Or you saw someone loving, someone who is very unlovable, but yet the Holy Spirit was helping them love. To have that joy, that there was no reason they should ever have joy because life has treated them so rough. But because of the Holy Spirit, they have that joy. And we could go through the list, having the peace, the long-suffering, the patience, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, the meekness, the temperance, the self-control that only the Holy Spirit can give. So what it is this deep, wonderful spirituality, this genuineness is God's doing. You know, we can try to put it on like we put on our makeup in the morning, but it doesn't really work when we just put it on outwardly. It has to be the miracle work of the Holy Spirit to love some people, to have that faith that we need to have. Faith is not something that you can just muster up on your own. It has to be the Holy Spirit. I mean, we can look like we have faith, but inside, if we don't really have faith, we're worrying to death, we're stressed out, we're getting ulcers, because we're not resting in the Lord. So you may say, well, this is a step of faith, and yet inside, being worried to death about it. And it's the Holy Spirit only that can genuinely work from within out. I love this verse in Galatians 4, 6, and 7. It says, and because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father, or Daddy. That wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. And that's what we are. We're not a stressed out servant or a stressed out slave. We are a beloved son. We're an heir of God. And so we have abundant life. John 10:10 says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Every saved person is going to make it to heaven. But a lot of us aren't really enjoying the trip. We're not getting those extra blessings that the Holy Spirit wants to give us that we can only get through His power. We're trying to muster them up on our own. Or maybe there's other things in our life cluttering that up. I have an illustration up here. And this is going to represent the Holy Spirit. God wants to come, the Holy Spirit wants to come and fill us with His power, with His comfort, with His truth, with His guidance, and so forth. But sometimes our life is so full of ourselves, of bitterness, of unforgiveness, of entertainment, of lack of self-control, of lack of peace, and so forth, that all we have room, the Holy Spirit will give us all of Himself. But the problem is, He may not have all of us. So we have all of Him that we can have, but does He have all of us? We may purge our lives, and hopefully we're working on that. And nobody is perfect. We're purging our lives. We're trying to get there. And so we have all of the Holy Spirit that we'll ever have, but does He have all of us? Or are we holding a little bit back? The best would be in purifying our hearts that the Holy Spirit could just come and fill our lives, because there are not distractions, no sin, things of the world in our lives, and so forth. So let's make sure we have all of the Holy Spirit that He will ever give us. We have Him. But does He have all of us? And that's our challenge for today. Now, another place that the Holy Spirit works, actually a place He doesn't work, and that's letter B, is not in the carnal Christian. You know, Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sin, and He lives in us to save us from ourself. He wants us to purge us of fear. He wants to purge us of selfishness. He wants to purge us of bitterness and remove those things from our lives, of lust, of hate, of worldliness, of love for the things of the world, and so forth. So the pathway to receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit is to judge ourselves and say, what do I need to remove from my life so that the Holy Spirit can fill me? The formula for victory is represented somewhere in this room. There's somebody who's sitting in a chair, or actually nobody sat in this particular chair. Underneath, so if you're sitting and looking at me to the right, there's somebody who has an empty chair to the right of you. There's something underneath that. And I want you to find it and bring it up here. That's representative of what we need to do to have victory in our life. And Mrs. Elliott has turned over her chair. So Ruth, will you bring that up here, please? And show us what it is that is representative of victory. Stay up here with me. This is my good friend, Ruth Elliott. She had M&Ms, but it's a blank package, because if I taped up a full box, it wouldn't stay. So you get the M&Ms.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. But what the M&M stands for, the victory, is we need to meditate and memorize. Meditate on God. We just heard about that. Meditating on Him, thinking, focusing on Him. We just finished the Olympics, and you guys probably watched some of those like I did, but those people are so focused on their goal. How focused are we to meditate on what God has done for us, what the Holy Spirit can do through us to memorize God's word. So the next time you see M&Ms, I want you to think, oh, that's the key to victory, is to memorize and meditate. You know, the Holy Spirit cannot bring to our mind that which is not there. So that's why we must memorize God's word and think about it, because that will give us the victory that we need. Number three, when does the Holy Spirit work? Letter A, when we witness. Acts 5:32 says, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." So you know who God gives the Holy Spirit to empower us as we witness? Is people who are obeying. So people, as we obey the Lord by going out and telling other people about him, he will fill us there. See, a spirit-filled person will have that love from within that will motivate them to want to go and tell other people. If we're just trying to put it on and say, oh, it's soul winning time and pastor says I need to be here, then if we're not doing it because we really love those people, then that's not going to last. So that's why it's so important. But the Bible says if we'll obey him and go, that he will fill us with the Holy Spirit. That goes hand in glove. So that just goes together. So let's make sure we obey him, and then we'll realize that God did it, and he put that love in my heart for other people. And then the Holy Spirit works when we grieve him. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." To grieve means to cause sorrow, sadness, pain, or woe where the Holy Spirit's been hurt. Doesn't that hurt your heart to think that the Holy Spirit would be hurt, that he's been wronged by us? We have grieved him. It's no small matter to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, sins of commission grieve the Holy Spirit. When we commit something that we should not do, sins of commission grieve the Holy Spirit. One grieves the Spirit by doing what the Holy Spirit tells us not to do. So the Holy Spirit will convict us and say, now you do not need to watch that movie that's R-rated. Or probably that's even PG-13 rated. And we go ahead and watch it because we're in the story. You know, we got to find out what happens at the end. You can't just turn it off when something bad comes on. But that is grieving the Holy Spirit. When he speaks to us about something we're doing and we continue to do it anyway, that grieves the Holy Spirit. When we grieve the Holy Spirit, he ceases to work through us and starts working on us. So, and we want the Holy Spirit to work through us. So let's make sure when the Holy Spirit speaks to us that we do what he says, because we don't want to grieve him. And then he works on us when we quench him. Letter C, when we quench him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, quench not the Spirit. To quench means to suppress a feeling completely, especially to quench an enthusiasm or to quench a desire. So when the Holy Spirit speaks to us and gives us a desire to do right, a desire to share that love, a desire to help someone, maybe bringing them into our home, a desire to read our Bible. And then we say, well, no, I know I should read my Bible. I just heard a whole session on that. I should read my Bible, but you know, I just don't have time. We're quenching the Holy Spirit because we're quenching that desire that he's putting in us. And he will give us the desire to do what's right or to witness to someone. Have you ever been standing in line at the grocery store or wherever and you feel like, you know, I should give them a tract and invite them to church, witness to them. And you say, oh, no, they probably already got one, or I think it's time for them to go now. And we are quenching the Holy Spirit because he's telling us to do something, but we're suppressing that desire that he is putting in there. So let's make sure we're not grieving the Holy Spirit by doing what he's telling us not to do, and let's make sure we're not quenching the Holy Spirit by not following through on what he is telling us to do. Okay, then what he does. These are some things he does. Letter A, he convicts us. The minute the flesh gets into the driver's seat, the Holy Spirit moves from the controlling ministry to the convicting ministry. And when we're convicted of our sin, we don't lose our salvation, but we lose the joy of the Lord. So let's make sure we listen when he convicts us. We talked about that a while ago, about the Holy Spirit reproving us and reproving us of sin and so forth. So how do we react if someone approaches us and tells us something we need to work on? Do we bristle outside or inside? Maybe on the outside we're saying, oh, thank you. But on the inside, I'm going to kill you. How do we really react when somebody reproves us? That shows if we are listening to the Holy Spirit or not. Just imagine this. If we came home and our house was so dirty, and you know, and when you go home, your house probably will be dirty. I heard about a dirty house. It was so dirty that the cockroaches rode around on dune buggies. Did you hear about the house that was so dirty you had to wipe your feet before going outside? Did you hear about the house that was so dirty that when you call on the phone, you get an ear infection? So, hopefully our houses won't be that dirty. But imagine that. If your house was so dirty, you had to kick trash out of the way to go outside the door. Or when you were eating your lunch, you looked down and you saw last night's meal there. Or you're drinking your water and something is there, you scratch it and it doesn't scratch off because it's on the inside. None of us are comfortable with that, are we? And so also the Holy Spirit is not comfortable living in a dirty house, in a house that has sin that is there. So remember that we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. We don't want to quench the Holy Spirit. When we do, He will convict us. And remember that He ceases to work through a person because He has to work on them. And we don't want that to happen. We want Him to be working through us. And then letter B, what the Holy Spirit does, He chastens. So the carnal Christian will be chastened by the Lord. The Holy Spirit is reproving us. He's trying to draw us back to Himself. If we'll judge ourselves, we can avoid a lot of pain. But when the Holy Spirit has to come and chasten us, then that is not pleasant. And then if there's a person who just lives their life and they seem to never be chastened, nothing ever happens wrong, I don't know. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:8, they may not be a child of God. So if we are being chastened, praise the Lord, that means we're a child of God. And then let's make sure that we are following Him. So many things about the Holy Spirit. Letter number five. How does He work? So what is the Holy Spirit's role in the life of us Christian ladies? Letter A, through the woman as the Holy Spirit of the home. Now think with me about this. Think of the Trinity. God the Father represents the head of the home, the dad, the husband of the home. God the Son, which is Jesus, represents the children in the home. So therefore, the third person of the Godhead, God, the Holy Spirit, the unseen one, represents the woman, the wife. So ladies, we represent the Holy Spirit. We are the Holy Spirit of the home. And think of all the things that we've been talking about. We comfort, we reprove, we hope we're the Spirit of truth. We got to get everything going in the right direction to guide them, to bring glory to the Father. We want to bring glory to our husband. So that our home is right. So we do fulfill the role as the Holy Spirit of the home. Okay, think with me, when God created the garden, He created a perfect place. Just imagine how pure the air was, no soot in the air, nothing, no pollution, how green the grass and lush it would have been, how peaceful the animals would have been. I mean, they didn't know to fight each other. They were just peaceful. How clear the river of life must have been, the water that was flowing through there. There were no weeds, no tumbleweeds. It was all just perfect. And then God put man in there to tend the perfect garden. And yet, you know what? It was perfect, but something was missing. Man didn't have somebody who was a kindred spirit to enjoy it with him. He needed something, and God realized there was one more thing lacking. And that's when He made woman. So see how important we are? If you ever think, well, nobody appreciates me and nobody notices what I'm doing, our role is very, very important. God created us to fulfill a need that was there as the Holy Spirit of the home. Think with me about all the good women in the Bible and what God used them to do. This is not in your notes, so just think about this. Think about the beauty of Sarah as she grew to call her husband Abraham her Lord. Think about the courage of Deborah as she stood beside Barak in the battle against the enemy. In fact, Barak said, I'm not even going to go unless Deborah goes, because God is with her. Think about the depth of Hannah as she prayed for a son and then she told God she would give him that son. Think about the devotion of Rizpah when she vowed to protect even the dead bodies of her sons. She stayed there. Think about the royalty of Esther as she stood before the king and she spared all of her people, all of the Jewish people. Think about the grace of Lydia, the poise of Mary as she accepted God's will. Think about the humility of Phoebe as she served so many people in the early church. Think about the friendship of Dorcas as she made so many garments for people. The faith of Rhoda, the worship of Mary, the care of Martha and all her hard work, the praise of Mary Magdalene, who anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped it with her hair. Think of the patience of Anna as she waited so many years for the Messiah, the loveliness of Rachel, the love of Jochebed, who cared for her son, the gentleness of Elizabeth, and the spirit of Lois as she raised her son. So wrapped up in all of these good things, these good qualities of women in the Bible, is what we should be. Letter C says, take all the good from all the good women of the Word of God, and that's what God intended for us to be. But then think, in the garden, who would have thought that in the midst of all of that loveliness and all of that beauty and all of that perfection, that evil could find an entrance? But it did, through woman. Letter D says, in the loveliness of woman is also the potential for ugliness or for evil. In our joy, there's the potential for sadness. In our grace is the potential for selfishness. In our humility is the potential for pride. In our submission is the potential also for rebellion. In our faith is the potential for doubt. So it's true, all the potential of goodness is found in a woman, but there's also another potential that we possess, and that's the potential, we think of the potential of Michael, who hated her husband David when he brought the Ark of the Covenant back and he was laughing and dancing and having a great time. We think of the rebellion of Jezebel. We have the potential for that, who stirred up her husband to do evil. We could be as selfish as Athaliah, who killed her own grandchildren for her own rights. We could be as hateful as Herodias, who had John the Baptist's head served on a platter. We could be as soiled as Rahab, who sold her body in prostitution. We could choose to lie like Sapphira did when she was in church. She even lied there. So we women, we have the potential to make Eden a paradise if we choose. But we also could curse everything in it, like Eve did. We have that potential. Letter E, whether it's good or bad, woman determines the spirit and the atmosphere of any place where she is present. We are the Holy Spirit of the home. You know, it may not be our job to actually get out there and physically build the house, or to lay the brick, to put the ceiling on, to pour the concrete, to construct the road, to lead the family, to pastor the church. That's not our job. But rather, it's our job as the Holy Spirit of the home to make happy the one who is building the house, who is laying the brick, who's constructing the road, who's pastoring the church, who's leading our family. Woman's spirit, the Holy Spirit of the home, determines the tranquility that is there. It determines the spirit of the office where you work, the unity of the church, the reputation of the pastor, the health of her husband, the joy of her children. Woman is the unseen power behind all of that. Woman determines whether man smiles or frowns while he works. She determines whether he has high blood pressure or normal blood pressure while he works. Whether he has frustration or tranquility while he works. You know, your husband, when he's coming home at night, he's probably thinking, I wonder what kind of mood she's in tonight. And because of our mood, he'll either have a happy, relaxing evening or he'll have a stressful evening, depending on our mood. So we women are very important. As we realize the role of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit does, we need to study that so that we can appreciate the Holy Spirit, but also study it so that we can know what we ought to do as the Holy Spirit of the home. Did you know that God made it so that a woman's spirit can overwhelm the spirit of a man? Now, he's stronger physically. He gets out there and works, in most cases. But he gets out there and works, but a woman's spirit can overwhelm the spirit of a man. He may be stronger in body, but you can overpower him by your attitude and by your spirit. So the next time you're prone to think, you know, I'm not very important, my job, nobody really appreciates me, realize your role as the Holy Spirit of the home. The Holy Spirit is the unseen one. He's not in the spotlight, but he's there. He's being the comforter, the encourager, the strengthener, the helper, the reprover. So let me encourage you. We talked about a lot of things that the Holy Spirit does, but there's so many verses in the Bible on the Holy Spirit. And I hope you'll do your own study, because remember, you want to memorize and meditate in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit and for Him to be able to empower us. So meditate on that, study it, do your own study on the Holy Spirit. And you know what, ladies, in these sessions, because I know I come to sessions and I listen to them, and I'd rather be sitting out there listening to someone else than being up here. But you know who learns the most in these sessions? Me, because I studied it. So I'm encouraging you, you're going to learn more if you'll go home and get your concordance out and look up verses on the Holy Spirit and do your own study on the Holy Spirit. And you'll be surprised, God will use that for you to teach someone else too, if you'll do it, I'm sure. So, thinking of the Trinity, the man represents God the Father. Children represent God the Son. Women represent God the Holy Spirit. So letter F, just as the Holy Spirit is crucial to the success of our Christian lives, so is a woman and her caring and encouraging spirit crucial to the success of our homes. So remember, ladies, we have the potential to build, to help, or we have the potential to discourage, to demoralize. We have the potential in us as the Holy Spirit of the home. So what are we going to do? Are we going to choose the high road or the low road? It's our choice. And the Holy Spirit wants to fill us and use us and empower us in our lives. Let's close in a word of prayer.